Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
Hey guys, it's Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Riccadonna, and with me, as always,
Richie Byrne and
your producer, Soul Joel.
Today we have a special guest, a very good friend. And before I even get into it, I think you'll get a kick out of this. This morning, I'm at breakfast table with my 4-year-old, my 2-year-old, my wife, and Angie asks, she goes, well, who do you have on the podcast? And I know you guys know each other, so I go, well, Paul Mercurio's coming on. He's our first interview, and my 4-year-old shakes his fist to the heavens and goes, Curio!
Are you serious?
So I'm wondering, did you kill his father in a different life, or why does he have a revenge plot on you?
I stole his girlfriend from him.
That's how we like to start.
I had a bag of candy in a van, and I went to the preschool, and there she was.
But she was way too old for Paul.
She was. Emotionally, she was six.
Mentally, emotionally.
Emotionally, more, way more mature than I was.
The great Paul Mercurio.
The whole, every yes. day was, can you just turn it off, man? You're always on too much. That's always what she said to me, little girl. What's up, buddy,
tough,
guys?
Tough coming from a 4-year-old.
I know. My old buddies. This
yes.
is awesome, man. I had no idea Richie was doing this with
Paul
you.
And I, literally, like, we met, like, almost day one for both of us at Eagle Tavern.
Yeah, long time.
Oh, we've known each other a long time.
So it's you two and Angela Lozada?
Yeah, Angela was there. Yeah, because that's right. That's the other. I knew there was another one that we had on.
Yeah, yeah.
But Paul.
Were you like, Joe, were you producing another podcast that I was on, or no?
The Comedy Point. Yeah. I think when it called in.
And what about, you didn't do Brennan's, did you? Were you doing working on Brennan's at one time?
No, I'm just really good friends with them.
Oh, but you were, so you were here, right?
Maybe no.
When I did it? Oh, okay, good, because he's out of his mind, so, no. Nah, he's great. Kevin's a good dude.
So the way we
but
like
he is
this,
out of his mind.
Yeah. That's what you love about him, you know? It's like.
let me tell you a funny Kevin Brennan story. About a year ago, we're at a theater in Long Island, and he needed to get to a train. And Mike Keegan said, I'll drive you to the train. I know, you know, I'll take you to a better train, blah, blah, blah. So we leave the theater, and there's two people who recognize Keegan. They're friends of his or something. So Kevin and I keep walking. We don't realize Keegan's not with us. We get down the block, and we turn around. We're like, where's Keegan? And Kevin starts going, oh, look at this fucking guy, man. Look at, oh, come on, man. Who's he talking to? I got to get a train. Look at the, and all of a sudden he goes, Jesus, guy offers me a fucking doing me a favor. And look at how I'm treating him. I'm like, I never saw anyone have an argument with themselves.
That's classic Brennan. He can't help himself.
Well, we start every show. We like to talk about a drink. So
it's been a while.
Paul, what is your drink of choice? As Mike Somerville said, of anything in the world,
right?
What would you prefer to drink?
A marijuana cocktail.
A marijuana, a heroin chaser. I'd say just a Jack. Like I'm
you
a
like
Jack
just
guy.
Straight Jack.
Yeah.
Straight up, no ice.
Yeah. And then I've gotten.
That's why he has to drag those balls around. Man has some big balls.
And then
to
I've
drink.
Got. I've had. There been a couple of times when I like. You know, you do a shot on stage, and then you ask for one. And then the bartender at the club thinks they're doing you a favor, so they give you like a
big, huge
thing. And I'm not. Some guys will fake it and have them do like iced tea or something. Like I'm just send it up. And then you got it.
That's not the kind of guy I am.
No, I'm one of the guys who fakes.
You know, I just take root beer and get all the carbonation out of it, and I fucking have to do the whole thing, and then the audience will call you a pussy if you don't finish it.
And you want to gag because it goes in.
And then you try not to make the. You want to be like the guy in the bar, like in the old West, like does it, throws a fucking half a dollar down, and then turns around and shoots the bad guy. I'm like, and then it's like fucking like, and then I forgot. Am I allowed to swear on this?
Of course.
And then I forgot. I started to forget Joe, like toward the end of that set. This happened like twice. Then I stopped doing it. I couldn't remember what I had done. And I repeated a joke.
Oh, I love
doing,
those.
Especially
moments.
If you're doing like two shows in a night or something.
Somebody complained. Yeah, it was some.
I heard these jokes before. Yeah, 5 minutes ago.
They complained to the manager, and I'm like, well, they got more for their money. They got twice the price. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I was trying to make
sure. He liked it so much, I wanted to give him a double.
And so that's the one that, because that can catch up that. If I start doing shots of Jack, like if I have an agenda to get drunk, I can't do beer. I'm like small guy, whatever. I just go right to that.
Right.
A few shots.
When you want to get a job done.
When you want to get a job done.
I have an agenda to get drunk right now.
And then, exactly. And then just sort of be able to kind of, you know, all right, now I'm drunk. I'm going to go drive a bus, you know, something like that.
Well, I think that is funny what we're complaining about here. We probably have the only job where people go, get him a shot while he's working.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And everyone's like, cool.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm cool.
Yeah, there's no account.
That's what I love about my job.
There's no account like, oh, they're going, I was balancing the books, and every time I ask for a shot, and they give me
way too much.
And then they give me
I am in surgery.
Right, exactly. I'm in the kitchen after I'm done with the audit, and somebody gives me amphetamines, like, it doesn't freaking happen, right?
I like when you're on the road and you have two shows, so it's almost like you're working a double. Like
exactly.
I got a double shift tonight. Yeah, exactly.
I got to
take it easy.
I got it.
I'm working up to an hour 15 minutes.
Right, exactly. And then when you do that thing on stage, then, like, afterwards, people, like, want to buy you a shot.
Oh,
and then you
yeah.
can't say no because you feel like
they're
going to
think
they're
it's like,
having fun with you.
And I, so what I say, no, I don't want to do a shot. Can I just have the dollar equivalent? So I have them give me the $7.
Good for you.
And then I put the money in my pocket. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
I
buy a drink tomorrow.
Joe's looking at me like, really? You're an asshole.
I'm on the spectrum. Yeah, I apologize.
No, it's not you. No, I'm an asshole.
No, you are on
you're
the spectrum.
Right.
Yeah.
You're both right.
Yes. There's a lot of truth being told.
Wait a minute. But that's the one. And I always kill. I got at the Baltimore Comedy Factory, I ended up doing Irish car bombs with a 65-year-old Irish woman down front.
She woman,
a point. Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
And she called you a pussy.
And she beat me. Yeah. I had to show
you were
everybody
on stage?
My vagina.
Wait,
yeah.
She drank you under the table?
Yeah, well, let's not get crazy, Joe. Take a shit from a guy who's on the spectrum. I don't need this. You know? Let me go get my little autistic puzzle pin to make you feel good.
That's what he sounds like.
It's so weird. This is exactly what Dr. Oz said.
Yeah. He's brutal, that guy. He went to Harvard, and I go to Harvard-Yale games. I'll come back to the other thing. Sorry, I bounced around.
And he's there, right?
And he's there, and he was walking around.
Yeah.
And because we were tailgating, like, near where he was tailgating. And so, it's so funny because here's this guy all about health, and everywhere around him is, like,
eating
fucking disgusting burgers. Yeah. And, like,
well, dude, I'm his warm-up guy. Believe me, he's used to that.
Yeah. You went with, like, a hoagie in your mouth. Oh,
guy ready for the show?
Can we have Richie come in? Yeah, listen, we got some complaints that people, they need to understand you during the warm-up.
Could you take
stop
the cheeseburger
eating
out of your
it's
mouth?
A spoken word medium, not a spoken food medium, you fucking animal.
Well, somebody didn't put enough sauerkraut on it. I couldn't chew it fast enough. Here's what I love when I worked with Paul on the road a lot.
And
I've got to work a lot together. He bounces around in half and then will jump to something else and then come back. They make fun of me. They call me ADD guy or whatever. They're always making fun of because I jump around so much.
Right.
When I'm with Paul, he'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll come back. I'm like, no, I'm following.
Doesn't
you.
Matter.
I'm right with you, bro.
Oh, like, yeah, you guys are the perfect pair.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just get sort of taken off. That's why, like, sometimes I'll bring notes up with little word keywords that I can kind of just look at. So I go, oh, I got to go back to that.
Right. Well, you did it now. We were talking about.
Well, what were we talking about?
When you
we talked about Oz and the thing.
Yeah, but the woman drinking you under the table.
Oh, right, that bitch.
Baltimore.
So, so she's drinking a pint of Guinness. And I'm like, oh, you like Guinness? She goes, yeah. You go, yeah. And you start talking, oh, you're Irish? Yeah, born in Ireland? Yeah. I go, oh, well, you can drink, right? You ever do an Irish car bomb? She goes, you're damn straight. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I go, you want to do one with me? She goes, I did figure she'd say, like, no. She goes, absolutely.
Wow.
Literally took her dick out and put it on the table.
Wow.
And it was like, I didn't know I was like doing this one.
And it was
Irish,
big and black.
It was
like
Caitlyn,
her Guinness.
Black Irish.
Caitlyn Jenner. And she drops hers in, I drop mine in. Hers goes down quick and smooth. Mine's like boom, boom, and then it kind of starts to spill over on the side, and people are like, "Oh, I completely lost that audience for the rest of the thing." And I literally,
no respect.
The minute it happened, I grew tits and a vagina, and my dick fell off, and I was
women
like,
"Women aren't funny."
Yeah, exactly.
What did you think of Paul Mercurio? She was okay.
You know, for a woman, she has quite a beard, and so that was like really kind of embarrassing. But like, that's my thing. That'll be my drink.
I gotta say too, with working with Paul, that's interesting. Is you're a very calculated guy, like where all your jokes are very, you write very specific, very smart, very, it's all together, but. When you're on stage, you're the loosest, like, jumping around, doing crowd work. You're playing right. around. Like, at one point, he just has him turn the lights on. He just goes through the room and talks to people yeah. and does whatever. And it's like, how do you have both parts of your mind? Because me, it's like, I can either do crowd work or I can do my material. But putting them together.
And if he gets a text during the show, it's over.
Exactly. Well, sometimes they don't. I've done this a couple of times where they won't believe something I say. And I call my wife on stage. But I don't tell her that I'm calling her, that I'm on stage, and so like I put it on. Like one time I did it, and then I said, "Don't say anything." And she gets on the phone and she's on speaker, and then I go, "So what are you doing?" And she's like yawning. I just take a nap. Yeah, what do you have to eat tonight? And I hear people snickering, and then she hears them snickering, and she goes, "Oh, come on."
Does it ever end with right. you, Paul?
And then another time I did it, and I hardly ever say to my wife I love her, because, we've been together since high school, so it's not even a marriage anymore. And it's just
that's
like,
amazing.
It's like two roommates, yeah, whatever. And
together.
Three, you got the young roommate.
Just
too.
For tax, together for tax purposes.
She'll clearly never hear this.
No.
Yeah, he's not worried.
No, she's not
apparently,
allowed.
Apparently, she's not one of the 65 listeners.
Exactly. She's not allowed to leave the kitchen, for Christ's sake. If you can get this in the kitchen, then she can listen to it. So I call her up and I go, and she's on the speaker, and the audience is like, "Shin down." I go, "How's it going?" She goes, and then in the middle of the conversation, I go, "I love you." And she goes, "Am I on speakerphone?" And but that's only a couple. Yeah, well, the thing about the bounce, I can't do stuff in a set order. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but once I have this stuff, I can't. It's definitely gotta. I got it written a certain way. So yeah. I like the juxtaposition of like just. Being
once
free.
You get into it, you have
once to. I get into it, but I don't know like the order I'm going to do or like where I'm going to pull it in or what I'm going to pull from. Like so, pretty much every set will be pretty different. I mean, I repeat jokes from one set
to the
other. I worked
with you how many weeks on the road, and I've never seen you do yeah. the exact same.
And then there's stuff you're working on. Like I'm working on this ISIS joke, and I know it's a good joke, and I cannot. It's not hitting, and I can't figure it out. It's the hardest joke I've ever tried to write, and it's not that complicated. And it's a simple premise that I was reading an article that ISIS.
Well, ISIS is always a simple.
It's run like a corporation. Well, I think there's.
If it doesn't go well, just go 3, 2, 1. Plug your ears.
Well, no, I'm thinking it is because it's fucking ISIS, and you're like, well, you know, like. Everybody hates ISIS, but that's not why I was doing it, because I read this article that it's run like a corporation, and they have a human resources person.
No!
Yeah, right, I'm serious. So, yeah, and I really, like, and I really thought that's juxtaposition of, like, so I say, like, is somebody, I guess they're calling in guys from the cave, like, who have complaints, like, hey, there's been a complaint about you.
Well, the human resources guy is basically an executioner.
Well, yeah, but what I tried to do is make him, like, the normal human resources guy, make right. it all about the complaints of a suicide bomber. So then I start, and I even like Googled like common things people complain about to find interesting ones. So stuff like I say,
you know, the FBI is watching.
You know, yeah. like I heard, you know, he goes, the guy goes, you made an off-color joke in the cave the other night that really offended some people. And you're really pissing off some of the other ISIS fighters because you're letting your wife drive and be educated. And you laugh. I do that one, and everybody thinks I'm shitting on women. And then you're burning popcorn in the microwave in the cave, and it's sticking up the cave, which I think is the funniest one because that was one of the top 10 complaints that people generally had.
The burning
that people
popcorn.
Would burn popcorn in a microwave. And then I go, you put in for carpal tunnel workers' comp for building bombs, and then you ask for vacation time. So I got all these things, and I think they're funny because the juxtaposition of like the mundane shit with
that's
the crazy whatever.
That would be
and
a
it's
great
got like
sketch.
A 10%. Thanks a lot. That really fucking helps. I got a 10. I don't even know why we got. I'm
so
sorry
visual.
We got off on this. I'm sure you got other stuff
even
you want
to talk
about.
Even here he's trying to make it work. Even here he's.
Yeah. So I think it should. Like, so that, like, I'll do that, but I have to do it very specifically when I get to it, like that way. And now I'm at the point where I literally just ask the audience, tell me why that's not working. I can't get feedback from them.
How'd the podcast go with Paul? You mean his workshop?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's funny you said that because my last show, I do a variety show here in the city, and we wrote a sketch about three bombers who the bomb wouldn't work, and they called the
expert.
They called the bomb. Like, there's Swallow a number rule. To call, and you call, and it's an American guy. Like, you know,
Acme.
You know, like, go, did you plug in the plug? You know, like,
oh,
and it was,
funny.
And it turned into that the three bombers became like Mo, Larry, and Curly, and it was really friggin' funny. And then I read it, I go, this is too offensive. Like, people are gonna be offended by it, and we didn't do it because it was so funny though. But I really believe. Somebody, at least 10 people would have walked.
Oh, really?
And I go, but that, and they kept, because Keegan kept saying, it doesn't have to be the Three Stooges. Like, you don't have to do it that way.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but it does because then it's not as offensive.
Right.
You know, but
and there's three of them.
So you have three guys who are Three Stooges, but they have Arab.
The three infidels.
I'm just getting confused.
Three infidels.
All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we're doing all of that. But no, you're stupid. And all that. I don't know. Yeah. I thought it would work.
I thought
it was really
hilarious.
Funny. I just think you know that people are going to get offended.
Yeah. But somebody's going to get offended about
it. We
everything.
Need to bring offensive back.
Right?
JT.
Yeah. Maybe we do.
I talk about like when I was a kid growing up. My parents would always dress me for Halloween as a hobo. And I said, you can't do that now because it would be considered politically incorrect because it's a homeless person. And then I go through the idea that your parents dressed you as a homeless person and sent you onto the streets at night to collect free food in front of real homeless people. and that's
your parents
and
are
more
evil
to the,
geniuses.
There's more to the joke, but like I really I believe the premise. Like that would be considered there. You'd fucking see something in a local newscast. Like
yeah.
You know, and they used to, every year I'd go, literally, they just throw shit at me and say, go out as like a bum. They call it a bum, man. They would call it a bum.
Well, hobo is actually short for a homeward bound soldier. The hobos
really?
From
oh,
World War
I,
when
that.
They would come back, they would, you know, do the stick and bindle. They'd jump on a train and try to get there. Because once they were done fighting the war, they were like, all right, you're done. Like, they're not sending you home.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they're homeward bound. And they actually have a
Look
thing.
At you being all smart.
Wow.
Mice and men. They have the symbols on the back of the welcome to signs to tell you where houses are.
Yeah.
That was all through the military.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Very interesting.
I didn't know that either.
I want to say this before you leave. Mm. I was watching a movie, and it was very odd to me because the two guys talking in the movie were you and Gaffigan, and it was Chuck.
Yeah, with Liev Schreiber.
I'm like, oh my God, look at this.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. It was great to see you
there,
man.
I was in the, it's a Chuck Webner story.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, he's the real life Rocky Balboa. Like, he took Ali 15 rounds, almost beat him. Everybody said he did beat him, but they gave it to Unit because he was the champ. And so it was a split decision. And Stallone stole that story and had to settle with.
Yeah.
If you want to hear it from Chuck's mouth, go to our other podcast.
Oh, that's right. You're
at
the boxing
TV. We just had Chuck.
Oh, cool.
On.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But you
up,
were, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I got to. We shot a few scenes. That scene ended up in it. And,
that's awesome.
And it was really, it was. And I remember my agent said to me, you know, Liev Schreiber can be intense. Some of the actors, like on set, he's like an intense actor, very serious. So just, you know, don't get thrown. I go, listen, I've had beer bottles thrown at me on the stage. I'm not going to watch. I've gotten heckled at the Eagle Tavern.
There were a lot of comics in that movie.
There was Jason Jones.
Joe Starr was in it.
And
you were in it?
Yeah. And
Gaffigan had a huge part.
Yeah, and there was like, and so we had this scene, and then I was like, and I'm sort of like one of his entourage hanger-on guys, and I'm dressed in, and they dressed you in 70s clothes, and my wife saw it. She goes, you look exactly like you did in high school. I literally think I had one of the shirts, like a plaid shirt, like a like a silk shirt with like platform shoes and bell bottom. Yeah. And I put like on a, like I, when I went in for the audition, I put on like, because I'm like a Guido guy, I put on some jewelry and a pinky ring. And then I was talking to, and I changed up a couple of words and I used some Italian words. Like, Madonna mia, I'm on edge, stuff like that. And then Liev pulled me aside and he goes, well, you know, the guy, and he started talking to me about some of my word choices. Like, the guy's really like a New Jersey Italian. And I think that's more of a Brooklyn Italian thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah, wow. And I was like, and I punched him in the dick. I'm like,
yeah, really?
No.
This
and,
is a Boston Italian.
Yeah. But he was really nice. He was, you know, he was all business, did his thing. But he was actually very, and it was weird because 9 months earlier, I was at the, I don't want to sound like I'm whatever, but like I was at the Emmy Awards for the Late Show, and I'm in the bathroom, and up next to me comes Liev Schreiber, stands in the urinal next to me, and I'm taking.
This is after you shot the movie.
This is before.
Oh, before.
And yeah, this is the weird thing, and I'm like, and I turn to him, I go, oh man, I was watching you in bed the other night, which was a weird thing to say with your dick out. And
or any time.
Yeah, exactly.
From
exactly.
A window.
Hey, man. And I'm a big fan of Ray Donovan and whatever, and I'm like.
Dick's still in hand.
Dick's, well, I was so thrown, I walked to the sink and my dick was still out. No.
So I'm at the Emmys.
Exactly.
He's soaping up. So, now we know how we got the part.
And then I didn't want to look like that was. An accident, so I started washing my dick like it was an intentional thing that I left my dick out. No, I'm just kidding.
totally sold. I'm like, who the fuck washes this damn
actually,
dick?
That's actually good. I never said that. I should say it on stage.
God. This is really his workshop.
Yeah, and
Mercurio's writing this down, people.
Hang on a second.
I'm doing a voice.
Wash the dick at the. Wait, not, this fucking. I hate these fucking. Wash my dick at the sink with Liev Schreiber. All right, so. So I'm washing my hands, and then I said, I never do this. I go, would you take a picture with me? And I took a selfie with
your
him
dick
in the bathroom with my dick in. And then I showed him the selfie on the set, like, you know, here it is, like a year later or whatever. And
wow,
the same. It's
that's
pretty
really
weird,
cool.
Like,
yeah.
Weird, like,
yeah,
because the chance of meeting him, taking a picture of him, whatever,
Ben
and then like, yeah, he was cool.
But what I found funny was I'm watching the movie with my wife, and this is how much faith I have in your career. Mm. And I go, wow, that guy looks just like a friend of mine, Paul Mercurio. And when the show movie goes on and he's in another scene, I'm like, I can't get over how much this guy looks like Paul Mercurio.
Shut up.
I go, hold on a minute.
The credits start rolling.
I fast forward to the credits. I'm like, it's Paul Mercurio. I don't know why I had such a...
No, that's about what most people think.
It was so funny.
There is no way that could be Paul Mercurio. There is no way on the face of the planet that guy could ever be in a movie of that caliber.
I wonder if that guy ever gets...
accept that that's Paul Mercurio.
It defies logic, damn it.
Does anybody go to that actor? Hey, you look just like Paul Mercurio.
He's like a young Mercurio.
You look a lot like you and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yes.
I can't stand. I'm sick of hearing
that.
Well, you're handsome.
No,
I forget who the... I said if you and... I can't remember the other person I said had a baby, it would be Sebastian. But I can't remember.
I had to change
the
spelling of my last name because there's that Australian actor, Paul Mercurio. My brother. Who got in the Actors Union before I did. And he spells his name Mercurio. He was in this movie Strictly Ball.
No, I know who he is, but what? How do you spell your name now?
Same way. I spell it Mercurio with one R.
My brother was doing his Paul's website, and I go, you can look him up online and whatever, and he goes, why are you hanging out with this Australian, like, dancer fag guy?
It's funny you should say the fag thing, and I'm like, that's all right.
We're he all loves
gonna,
the word.
It's fine. We're all going to die anyway. I was trying to figure out, okay, well, what am I going to do? I got to change the spelling of my name. And my friends kind of figured this out even before I did. Somebody was Googling me, and they got his website. And he was like a dancer. Like, he was a really good dancer. That's how he got the part in Strictly Ballroom. He was a choreographer, and they ended up just keeping him in the movie because he could do all the moves. And he had a website, and you'd go to his website, and there was one picture of him, like, in, like, a tankless T-shirt. A sleeveless T-shirt, a white tank top, and black pants, really tight. Like, you'd see his balls and every junk, and it's all tight. And he's got a bottle of water, and he's like spraying it, like super, super gay. And he's like, and my friends are going to look at that and going, "Are you doing gay porn? What is going on with you?" They thought it was me. Because if you look quickly, look, you have the same coloring, same like brown hair.
No, they actually, it had nothing to do with them. They were actually asking you if you could get any more.
Because we saw you in two movies, and they kept saying, there's no way that's Paul Mercurio.
And you're like, why are you guys watching the movie?
Yeah, exactly.
We got to wrap up.
Well, let me
Paul
tell the joke. We didn't tell the joke.
Would you let me do this?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I was going to say, we got to go because Paul actually has to run across town because he has a job.
Yes.
And what are you doing currently?
I am. When is this airing?
It doesn't. We don't
this,
know.
Probably yeah. this month.
Okay. Well, this month, the end of May, I'm in Rooster Teeth Feathers out in Sunnyvale, California, San Jose. And then I'm in June 8th and 9th, I'm at Governor's in Levittown.
Nice.
So people can see me on the road, and my podcast is...
That's right. I was there the other night. I saw your picture.
The Paul Mercurio Show on iTunes.
Very good.
And,
tons of good guests.
Yeah, like Paul McCartney, Bryan Cranston, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Jay Leno.
Really?
Ray Leonard. Yeah.
You had my boy Rick Overton on.
Rick Overton, Brian Regan. So there's something for everybody. Neil deGrasse Tyson. So I just had Katie Couric on talking about her show on AIM.
Gee,
so
you're the
like
biggest guest we've had.
Does it? No.
I was like, you're bragging about them. We're bragging about you.
Yeah, no,
so round and round we go.
So people can get that on iTunes. And it's just my name, The Paul Mercurio Show. And subscribe. It's free. Every Monday we put a new one out.
If it's about ballroom dancing, wrong Paul Mercurio. But the second thing we do on our show is tell a joke.
We tell a street joke. So
right.
Do you have a street joke?
Or do you have any on the top of your head?
I don't.
All right. I got one. I'll do one. So a guy, every night on his way home from work, he goes to a bar, gets hammered. And his wife's like, if you come home hammered again, you're out. So he's on his way home from work. He stops in the bar. Just have one. Next thing, 2 hours go by, he's completely loaded, drunk. He's all fucked up. He's sitting at the bar. And the guy goes, what's the matter? He goes, my wife said I can't go home if I'm drunk. I'm drunk. I don't know what I'm going to do. The guy says, I got an idea. Tell your wife you were walking home from work. A guy ran out of the bar and threw up. Oh, I'm screwing the joke up. He threw up on himself. And he goes, my wife's going to know. He said, tell your wife when you go home, some guy was coming out of the bar and he threw up on you. Put a 20 in your front pocket. Tell her he gave you the 20 to pay for the dry cleaning. You'll be fine. So the guy goes, you're a genius. So he goes home. He's got the throw up on him and all. He goes in. His wife goes, what is this? He goes, honey, I was walking by the bar. Guy came out, threw up on me, and he gave me his 20. To pay for the dry cleaning. She goes, well, what's the other 24? He goes, the same guy shit my pants.
Nice. That's great.
Folks, that's drinks, jokes, and storytelling. Good night.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.